It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today. And welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation, and I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. And if you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, our topic for today is, so you think you know how to delegate. You know, this is kind of a different topic, and it came about a month ago. I was contacted by the vice president of HR for a company that I've done some work with. It's a international corporation. They do a multiplayer gaming product. This gal called me and she said, you know, Doug, would you be available to do a lunch and learn? We have a leadership program for the women in the company at all levels, and we are asking guests to come in and talk to them. And I said, oh, sounds like a lot of fun. I'd love to do it. She said, well, it's kind of open. Whatever topic you'd like that would help them in their journey to learning more about leadership or perfecting their leadership skills. So I said, fine, I'll get back to you in a few days with the topic and a little blurb for you to put out. Well, I started to think about it, and what I realized is that in the 22 years that I have been coaching and working with executives, during that time, I've facilitated over 1,000 executive forums. I've individually coached hundreds of senior executives and their staff. I've had thousands of coaching sessions. And when I start to think about all of those sessions, I was trying to find out, what do they have in common? Is there a common issue that goes across all the different levels over time, over industries, that would be interesting to talk about for people that want to know more about leadership? It only took a moment to realize that the most common issue is one of delegation. I have people that delegate poorly, I have people that don't delegate, and I have people that don't know how to delegate. The problem is delegation. And the key, of course, to leadership, to being a better manager, to being more productive yourself, is what can you delegate to others without losing control, while maintaining the quality of the product and while maintaining the goals of the company. How does this problem come about? You know, it manifests itself in lots of different ways. I have companies that I work with where the founders are ready to get out. They are boomers. And we all know that one of the biggest markets today is companies owned by boomers that are now reaching that retirement. I hate to use that word. I'm going to say on retirement age. They're going, well, how do I get out of the company? Do I sell it? Do I turn it into an ESOP? Do I turn it over to the employees? Do I just stay home and wait for the checks to come in? It boils down to how well were they able to delegate what they do to other people so that they are no longer necessary to be at the office. And I literally have multiple clients that I'm working with that are stuck in that problem, that they didn't start early enough to delegate, to train both how to do the tasks, the responsibility, and the authority so that they didn't have to be there all the time. On the other end of the spectrum, I've got clients that are growing young companies. I'm going to say they're in the startup phase. In my definition, startup doesn't mean you started the company yesterday. Startup means you're in that phase someplace between I started it yesterday and I have now reached the point that it can't grow any further because my hands don't extend or allow me to get involved in any more than what we're currently doing. What does that mean? It means that the growth of the company has stopped. And why has it stopped? Because the founder is unable to delegate and therefore expand the influence that they can have over the company. Those things led me to this topic that I did for this company with this Lunch and Learn. They led me to this issue of delegation. And you know, I decided this is worth a show today. This is normally I like to sit back and have a guest and let them do all the work and I just throw out the questions. But we're not going to go that way today. So why don't people delegate besides the fact that they don't know how? Well, you know, the common issues, never have enough time to delegate, the staff isn't competent, if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself, what will other people think of me if I don't do it myself, if I'm good at it, why should I have others do it, or the one that I like the best is, you know, this is so much fun, I don't want to let somebody else do it, this is what I enjoy doing. Those are all myths around delegation. And when I say myths, maybe I should rephrase that. They're urban legends. There is some truth to them, but they aren't true all the time. You know, they're not true all the time because we don't take the effort to delegate properly. Now, one of the issues is with delegation is, to me, the biggest issue is one of mindset. Now we're going to talk about a lot of things today, about steps you should follow when you're delegating, about methods that you can use when you're delegating. But when I got done writing all those things down to share with you today, I realized that the most difficult problem to conquer in learning how to be an effective delegator is the one of what is your mental attitude. So many of us have the feeling that if we ask somebody else to do something, we're imposing upon them. We're dumping work on them. We are getting out of what we don't like to do. We are thinking about delegating as if it was all about me. That is the wrong frame of mind. You need to change your frame of mind and realize that delegating is about them. It is not about you. Yes, you may get some benefits out of it. You may get out of doing some work you don't like. You may get more work done. But look at what it does for the other people. It gives them opportunities for growth. It gives them new things to learn. It empowers them by letting them be responsible for the work, not just doing the work. It increases their morale and the self-confidence that people have. It enhances their creativity, builds on their skills, increases their involvement and their commitment to the job. That's all about them, not about you. Get your head wrapped around this mental attitude about delegating and stop feeling guilty about doing it. And start feeling guilty about not doing it. It is your job as a manager. It is your job as a leader to delegate every single thing you possibly can because it grows your people. It challenges your people. It produces more creativity. Managing is the process of planning and directing and monitoring the work of a group. Delegating is more about teaching and coaching. It is about teaching people new skills. Speaking of teaching, there is more than one way in which to delegate. And this is the problem for people that have tried to delegate and then tell me, well, I've tried it, Doug, but it just doesn't work. It was easier to do it myself. What you have to do is you have to match up the method of your delegation with two other factors. You have to match it up with how familiar is that employee with the skills that are going to be necessary to do this job. And the second thing you have to match up your method with is how familiar are you with that employee? Okay, and if you look at an X and Y axis of a chart and on the x-axis, you've got how familiar the employee is with the task, and on the y-axis, you've got how familiar you are with the employee. And then you sort of plot three areas of where they might end up on that axis. Now, let's assume that we're talking about an employee that either you're not very familiar with, they're new or new to you, or maybe you're familiar with them, but they're not familiar with the job that you're going to assign them to. Either of those situations will generate this method I'm going to talk about of delegating, the teaching method. It may be that both of those things are true. Maybe you don't know the employee and they don't know the task, but if either one or both of those things are true, then your method of delegation that you're going to use is one of being a teacher. Your objective is to teach them how to do this task so that they can grow. To do that, you have to sit down with the employee and agree on what are the goals of this training session and what is the timeline, how soon do I expect them to learn it and start to take over this project. And we have to talk about what is going to be the method or the process that they're going to use in working on this task. In other words, in this case, it is not up to the employee to decide how to do the job. Remember, this is where you are the teacher. This is where you are telling them this is the way to do it. There may be 10 different ways to do it. There may be 5 other better ways to do it. But you have picked a method and you are training them and teaching them how to do the job by using this method or this process. In doing it, like any good teacher, you're going to want to have them do part of the job, give you some feedback. You want to have them work a little bit on it, check what they're doing, come back to you. In other words, they're on a short leash. They don't get to work very long on their own because they'll just get off on the wrong track. You want to be checking constantly. This is the most time-consuming method of delegation. If this is the only method you have available to you, recognize that you cannot be working with very many people or with very many tasks all at the same time because you have another job to do yourself. When you use this, like any good teacher, you've got to be supportive and protective, and you've got to be sure that your schedule allows for frequent interruptions by them so that they can get feedback. All right, that's delegating by being a teacher. Now, let's assume that, you know, on this X and Y axis, that their knowledge of the job has moved maybe halfway up, or your knowledge or awareness and familiarity with what they're capable of doing has moved halfway along the scale. Okay, now you have the ability to use a delegation method that is called management by objectives. This is when you know the employees and you know that they're competent in the skills that are going to be necessary. So you start the same as you did in the other process. You sit down with the employee, you agree on what is the end goal of this process that you're asking them to do, and what is the timeline, when is it going to be done. You agree on a reporting schedule. Okay, so key point here. In the first method where you are delegating and using the teaching method, you are constantly reviewing what they're doing and they are constantly coming back to you to check on how they're doing. In this management by objectives method, when they are you're more familiar with them and they're more familiar with the task, you're going to set up a review schedule. So check back with me in 2 hours, check back with me in 2 weeks, whatever is appropriate for the task, you will set up a reporting schedule. You will, in this case, make sure that the employee you're delegating it to has all the information that they need, and that as they work on the process, that any changes they make in the initial process that was taught to them, that they let you know what those are. But they have the authority to look for better ways to do things, to take shortcuts, to do it differently than you and I did it. Maybe because it's better, or maybe because it's just more comfortable to them. And you delegate a level of authority, not just the task to do the job, but the authority to make decisions based on the results that the job or task is producing that's appropriate with their level of knowledge and their task. And we'll talk a little bit later about authority levels. So in this management by objectives, the key here is giving them the freedom to make decisions on how to work that's consistent with their knowledge of the task and your knowledge of them. Let's go to the third, final method of delegation. I say final, there's probably more, but for today's topic, we're using three. We've talked about delegating as a teacher. We've talked about delegating using management by objectives. We're now going to talk about delegating using management by exceptions. This is when you are extremely familiar with the employee. You know exactly what they can and can't do, and they have done this job or used this process many times before, and you know that they're competent. In this case, what you want to do is you like in the others, you agree as to what the end goals are and the time frame, and then the reporting, there is no reporting. The reporting objective here is if you have a problem, if they have a problem, they come back to you. If they're not going to be able to meet the goals or meet the schedules, they're going to report to you. Otherwise, if there are no problems, if they can meet the goals, if they can meet the schedule, they know how to do the job, they don't have to check with you. It's off your desk. It's out of your visibility. Now, this is only used with people that you truly know their capabilities and that you know what they're able to do. So those are the three different methods of delegating, and where I see many problems is that managers tend to pick one and use it for everything. It's sort of like the old saying, if the only tool I've got is a hammer, everything looks like I've got a hammer. This is a screw. I don't have a screwdriver, so let's just hammer it in. Not the best method. So you want to make sure that you are matching the method of delegation to the employee and to their knowledge, your knowledge of the employee and their knowledge of the job. Now, in all three of these cases, there are some steps that we've kind of brushed over, but I want to go back over them in a little more detail. Some steps that we want to go through. First is you want to define the task. In other words, when we're talking about delegating here, we're talking about delegating the whole task, not about, you know, just do a little bit and then come back to me. There's nothing that takes people's self-worth away or confidence away more than not understanding where they're going with this project and not being entrusted with seeing what the end goal is. So you need to define the task for them. You need to select the individual. You need to determine which method of delegation you're going to use based upon your knowledge of the individual, their knowledge of the task. You're going to make sure they understand the importance of the task, okay? The difference between, I'm only looking for an answer here that's within $1,000 or 1,000 miles of what you're calculating, or I need to know down to, you know, 10 decimal places out. What is the, you know, results that you're expecting, and what are the milestones that you're going to review? Now, let's talk about milestones. There is nothing that guarantees that you'll stop delegating things more than the fact that most people only set up an end date. I give you this task to do, Paul, and it's going to take you 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks, let's you and I get together, and you can show me if you've done it. You'll have it done by then. Now, Paul leaves the office. He goes away. He didn't quite understand what I said, or I didn't make myself clear, and he now spends 2 weeks going off in a side direction that is never going to get him the right answer, working very hard at it, feeling like he's doing the right thing, and the first thing I know about it is when we meet 2 weeks later. Now, there's no way we're going to make the due date. This is 2 weeks worth of work. We're at the due date. So you need to set up milestones. The milestones are for your comfort as the delegator to be sure that the person has understood and is making the progress and is going to make the due date that was established. And it's for their comfort to give them the reinforcement and the confidence that they're working on the right thing in the right way. You also need, before they leave to get started, you need to identify what resources they need. There's nothing worse than being given a job to do and not given the resources to do it. Let's talk about the most critical resource that you can give to somebody that you're delegating a task to. And this applies in any kind of task that you could ever think of assigning to them. And it is the one resource that is most commonly not given to people to do the job, and that is time. We frequently take the people that are the busiest and the best, and we ask them to do more without realizing that where are they going to get the time to do more? What is it that we are going to agree, since they're already working full time? What is it we're going to agree that they're going to stop doing for the next 2 weeks while they work on this task? So resources include not just the right tools. You have the right computer, a big enough screen. Do you have is the HR department going to support you on this? Is marketing going to give you the information that you need? Is IT going to help you with this? No, we're also talking about that critical resource, which is time. Do they have the time to work on this project, given your joint estimate, you and them, given your joint estimate of how much time it's going to take and your agreed upon end date and schedule? You're also going to make sure that you are available to support them. It does not work, except maybe management by exception, but it does not work to tell somebody, here's all the things I want you to do, and by the way, I'm leaving on vacation. I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I expect them all done and on my desk. That's not giving them any support. If they run into any hiccup, where are they going to go? Now, it's okay if you tell them, but you can go see Paul while I'm gone because he knows this as well as I do. Okay, fine. And once they've completed the task, you need to be sure you're giving them feedback. Feedback is both instructive in the sense of, you know, this is the right answer. I like what you've done. Let me show you a way that I think you next time you could do it and it would be easier and maybe quicker. Or feedback is fantastic job. Thanks for your effort. I saw you here last Saturday working. I really appreciate you coming in and putting in the time, whatever. Feedback, if you don't give them feedback, and the term is feed, we all need to feed. We all need to eat or we die. If you don't give your employees feedback, they will die on you. The problem is many times they die in place and you never realize it. If they just died and you had to move the body, it would be better. But that's not where we're at here. That's how you delegate something. Let's talk a little bit about authority, because while you're delegating the task and you're using these steps we've talked about and you're using the different methods to delegate, you have to also think about what is the level of authority that you're giving them. So going from the lowest level of authority, it's wait and be told. It's start this project and don't go any further. Just do step number one. Don't go any further without checking with me before you go on to the next step. Or at the other end of the scale is, hey, this is what I want you to do. You decide what needs to be done. You handle everything. This is now your issue. Don't even call me. I've given it to you. You are now the sole person responsible for it. And in between, there are multiple levels of authority. At the first level, wait and be told, this is when you're delegating as a teacher, and this is about instructions, and there's really no freedom for the person whatsoever at all. The next level might be work on this, and then if you get into a situation where a decision is needed, come back to me and I'll make the decision. You can talk to me about it and I'll make the decision about where we go. Or you might say, work on this, and when you reach a point where a decision needs to be made, bring it back to me and we will decide together on what should be done. Or you might say, work on it, and when you bring it back to me, give me your recommendations about what you should do, what you think should be done if I wasn't here, and I'll let you know whether you can go ahead with the one that you think is right. Or, you know, you might say, go ahead and decide. You reach a decision point, go ahead and decide, and, you know, drop me an email and let me know what you've decided so I know where things are going. There's all sorts of different levels in here that you can work on and play with, and I'm not going to go into them all in detail. So the key to effective delegation here is really to match the style of delegation to your knowledge of the individual and their knowledge of the skills required to do the job. You want to delegate gradually. You don't want to dump 10 things on somebody new. You want to delegate gradually so that you build both their confidence in doing new things and you build your confidence in having trust in them to do it. When you do delegate, you want to delegate in full increments. Now, that may sound inconsistent with what we just talked about in terms of authority. You want to delegate the whole task to them, but the authority, their ability to make decisions along the way, you may delegate in pieces. Understand the difference? Yeah. You want to make sure that you are focusing in your delegation on the results that you want, not the process. People do things differently. As long as we end up with the same right results, maybe it doesn't make any difference how we do it. You want to make sure that they understand what your expectations are before they get started. You want to make sure that you've got the feedback process, the milestones established. And once you've delegated to somebody, stop meddling. Get your hands off of it. You've set up the review points. Let them alone. You can't keep walking around and looking over their shoulder going, "How's it coming, Paul?" You're going to drive Paul nuts. You said you weren't going to check on him till tomorrow. And that was your review point. Those are how to delegate. Let's talk about what to delegate. You need to take the time to look at your schedule. Look at your daily and your weekly, maybe even your monthly schedule, and figure out what's eating up all of your time. What is it that you are spending time doing that you would like to delegate? Now, you have to be careful here because your mind's immediately going to go, "Well, I'd like to delegate all this, but there's nobody qualified." Remember, we realize there's nobody qualified. Part of your job is you're going to make people qualified to do that. So first, let's decide on what you want to delegate. Things that you are going to delegate are things that you don't have to do personally. In other words, if you've got a client that's requiring you personally to show up at the meetings monthly for the review, you may not be able to delegate that because the client is insisting that if you're going to do this job for me, I want to see you physically there, Doug, to know that you're working on this project. But there may be other things that you can do. You want to make sure once you've identified what you can delegate is who are the likely candidates that you could delegate things to? Who's got the ability to learn new tasks? Who do you have some awareness of? Who is it that you have the time, that has the time to take on these things? And then once you've got both the person and the task in mind, then what is the method of delegation you're going to use? Teacher, objectives or exception, and then put together a plan and a timetable to start the process. Sound simple? Well, it is simple, but why is it we don't do it? You know, it is so hard to let go of some things. Now, I'm going to place one caveat here in that there are some things that you may enjoy doing that you don't want to get rid of. And that's okay if you can do the rest of your job that's in your job description and you want to hold on to that. One of the other reasons to delegate is not to just get things off of your desk. It's not just to train new people. Many times the motivator behind delegating things is, you know, if I do this, the cost is X number of dollars per hour. But if I got somebody else to do this, they could do just as good a job as I do with a little bit of training, and it would only cost me a third of the dollars per hour that it costs for me to do it. So delegating is you know, what do you want to delegate and who do you want to delegate it to is a combination of looking at training and coaching opportunities for the employees, growth opportunities for them, things that will retain employees, that will make them feel empowered and involved. And it is also a matter of looking at what will give you more time, what will allow you to work on other things that are more important that other people can't do, and what is it you're doing that is could be done at a cheaper rate than you doing it yourself. I have never done a seminar or a class on delegation that the subject of reverse delegation didn't come up. What is reverse delegation? Reverse delegation is when somebody walks into your office that works for you and dumps a project on your desk. Now, they may not dump it on your desk, but they walk in to talk to you about something. And hey, they're very clever. And by the time they leave your office, you realize that what they walked in with is now sitting on your desk, and somehow you've decided that you're going to help them and solve the problem. This is reverse delegation. This is delegating the work up. So what you want to do when people walk in your office with a problem is you want to ask them, what is the problem? What are the, and I like to use three, what are three potential solutions to this problem? And if their answer is, well, I don't know, I came in here because it's a problem. Well, go back and think about it. And I don't care whether you know what to do or not, but if I wasn't here and you had to make a decision, what do you think should be done? What you're doing is you're forcing them to think about it, you know? And the example I like to use with this is I'm a very poor speller. One of the reasons I'm a poor speller is as I came up in corporate America, whenever I didn't know how to spell something, I could always just holler to the secretary outside my office, say, how do you spell this? I didn't look it up in the dictionary and write it down, which would have implanted in my mind how to spell it. I would have learned how to spell it. I took the easy way out, and I never learned how to spell those words because somebody else did it for me. Many times I didn't even ask. I just assumed when they proofread my papers or typed them, they would correct all those spellings. What we're looking at here is you need to train your people to think. That is more important than getting the right solution. It's getting them to think about what they would do. And then you can pick the preferred solution out of the two or three that they're explaining to you. And you can say, you know, I agree with you on your choice, and this is why. Or I don't agree with you. I would pick this other one, or I don't think any of those will work, and this is why. It's a training opportunity. Delegation is all about training and coaching opportunities. You want to make sure to avoid reverse delegation, that they are only coming to you when they can't solve the problem themselves, or you haven't given them the authority to solve the problem themselves. Well, that's today's topic on delegation. I hope that it has sort of blown up some of your myths that you don't have time to delegate, that nobody else does it as good as you do, that if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself. All those are just lazy excuses on why you don't want to put the time into training, teaching, and coaching people to make your organization more effective by expanding the number of people that can work on your projects. So I hope that you take this to heart, that if you haven't got it all, you can listen to the podcast. If you're not already listening to it, if you're already listening to it, replay it. If you're listening to us live, then next week, listen to the podcast and play it over until it kind of sinks in. Speaking of next week, we've got a great guest with us next week, David Lund. David likes to call himself the hotel coach, and he's going to talk to us about the coaching that he does in the hotel industry. His niche is hotels. People are always talking about what's your niche. Well, David has truly defined his niche in terms of who is it that he likes to coach and what he's going to be coaching. If you saw our newsletter, you saw that we've had some great shows the last couple weeks. Last week was Brenda Wells on human trafficking. It's everybody's business. Be sure to go back and listen to that one. And the week before, John Kurth was here talking about how to win customers and keep them coming back, and gave us a great lesson on the impact of sales scripts and the use of NLP in your scripting of sales presentations. So I hope that you've enjoyed today's show, that we have presented some new information that you can put to use to achieve your goals immediately. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.